We're going to look at a new heaven and a new earth, continue where we were at last time. So if you could open your Bibles to chapter 21, verse 1 of Revelation. Revelation 21, verse 1. All right, when the world thinks of heaven, okay, what does it think of? What's some things the world thinks about heaven? If you were going to go to somebody on the street and say, what will heaven be like? What would they say? What's that? Angels playing harps, that's right. Puffy clouds. And they talk about the pearly gates, right? Streets of gold. Yeah, they'll be singing, all these kind of things. That's what the world thinks of when it thinks of heaven. Now, is that what heaven is right now? If you were to die this moment, or the rapture would come this moment, is that what it would be? Streets of gold, pearly gates, all that. No, right? When the world thinks of heaven, okay, it thinks of the new heaven and the new earth, which is described in Revelation 21 and 22. So when the world talks about the pearly gates and all this stuff, and a lot of the theology from different churches and different denominations has things where they say, well, maybe this is talking about right now, but the Bible's clear that the new heaven and the new earth do not exist yet. Okay, they will not exist for at least another 1,000 years. All of Revelation chapter 20 describes the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Okay, and at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is loosed for yet a little season. Okay, stirs rebellion, and then his fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours him. Then there's the great white throne judgment, where at that time, at the great white throne judgment, that's where it says that the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Okay, and then after the great white throne, we come to Revelation 21, verse 1, where John sees this. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So we're going to read Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That is after the great white throne judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for being able to look at your word. I ask that we may grow and learn, and we know that we are told in Revelation chapter 1 that blessed are we that read the words of this prophecy and keep the words of this prophecy. So, Lord, it's always profitable to look at your word and see what's going to happen in the future, and so we can live our lives right now with that in mind. So, Lord, help us tonight as we look at your word, and help it to make sense, and help us to grow as believers. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Revelation 21 verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And then it says this, "For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Now, what's this first heaven and then first earth? We're going to look at this passing away still tonight. Okay, where is this first heaven and first earth? Where's the first earth right now? It's where we are. We're standing on it, right? This earth is the first earth. And when it talks heavens, and we'll get to that in a little bit, it's talking the sky and the universe and the stars and those kind of things. Okay, heaven itself, where God's at, is not going to pass away, but all these stars and the planets and the universe and the earth is going to pass away. So we're standing on this first earth. But the Bible says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. So it's going to pass away. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and look more in detail at this passing away of this first heaven and the first earth, the earth we're on right now. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. We read this last Wednesday night. Now we're going to move on and talk about the end part of this section, this chapter. So 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Talking about the flood. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So let's just recap this section. Okay, it says in the last days, people are going to laugh. They're going to scoff at the idea of Jesus coming back, right? They're going to say this. They're going to deny Him so that they can willingly walk after their own lusts. That's why they're going to say, they're going to scoff at Jesus Christ coming back. Okay, they're going to deny that God created the heavens and the earth in the first place. Okay, we read that in verse 5. They're going to deny that there was a worldwide flood. We see all these things right now. We're in the last days. But Christ is going to return. Okay, verse 7 tells us this, that by the word of God, the heavens and the earth are even now, the heavens and the earth that we're at right now, that they are kept in store. The heavens and the earth are held together by His word, by God's word. He's holding together the heavens and the earth right now, reserving the heavens and the earth right now that we're on. He's reserving them unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So the earth is not going to continue like it is now forever. We're not just going to stay on this earth forever and ever, because there's going to be a day of judgment for the ungodly. We read that in verse 7. There's a day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Okay, that's when the earth is going to be given unto fire. So we want to see what's going to happen. What's going to happen to this heaven and this earth? We know it's going to have to do with fire. And we're going to read on here in chapter 3. But let's look at verse 8. It says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Okay, so 1,000 years is one day. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. Now, keep in mind that in this section of 2 Peter, we're talking about the people that are laughing, the people that are scoffing of the idea that Christ is going to return. We're talking about Christ's return in this section. Okay, they're going to say, "You Christians, you're always talking about Jesus Christ coming back. But look around you. Things haven't changed forever. Everybody's always said Jesus is coming back, but He hasn't. He's never coming back," is what they're going to say. But in verse 8, we see that in God's eyes, in the eyes of eternity, in the eyes of heaven where they're at, 2,000 years or so, this has been since Christ, is not that long. We've been on the earth for 2,000 years, and we think, man, where's the promise of His coming? Everybody scoffs at it, but that really is not that long. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God's not on our time scale, is He? Okay, God is not on our time scale. We think that the Lord, you know, we say the Lord is tarrying, that it's taken a long time. And a common expression is, "If the Lord tarries." Have you heard somebody say that? Like, "I'll see you next year if the Lord tarries," saying that unless the rapture occurs, I'll see you, right? And so we as Christians say, "If the Lord tarries." But God does not tarry. Okay, in fact, "if the Lord tarries," and the Lord tarrying is not a biblical expression. Okay, it's never in the Bible saying the Lord tarries. In fact, it says that He will not tarry. Look at Hebrews 10:37. Hebrews 10:37. Does the Lord tarry? Because we say it's taken a long time, but not in God's eyes. God is not tarrying. Christ is not tarrying. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 37. The Bible says, "For yet a little while, and He that shall come will come." Who is it that's going to come? Jesus. We're talking about Jesus Christ. "For yet a little while, and He that shall come, and will not tarry." So Jesus Christ is not tarrying. So He is coming when He knows He's going to come, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Okay, He will not tarry. Let's go back to 2 Peter 3, verse 8. So when we see this verse, "A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day," we're talking about Christ and His return. And in verse 9, well, let's stay on that verse here for a little bit, verse 8. Okay, the Lord's on a different time scale, we can see. Many people try to use this verse to say what? "A day is like 1,000 years." They try to say, well, creation wasn't really in six literal 24-hour days, right? They say, because a day is like 1,000 years. So really, a day could mean 1,000 years, or it could mean so many years. And so they can fit in millions and billions of years so they can have evolution. Okay, but if this was the case, if we could just substitute, if we take this verse and say a day is like 1,000 years, and if we substitute in 1,000 years for days all the way through, the Bible becomes nonsensical. Okay, it becomes absurd, because then we could say, you know, how long was Jonah in the belly of a whale? Nope, 3,000 years, right? How long did it rain while Noah was in the ark? 40,000 years. So we can't just substitute years in for days. How long was, you know, Jesus fasting in the wilderness? 40,000 years, right? No, 40 days. And how long was he in the tomb? 3 days? Yes, those are literal days. So we can't just take this and it's a formula that we just plug in. Oh, every time the Bible says a day, we go 1,000 years, right? It's just saying that it's God's time scale is not like our time scale. It's the same kind of thing. Remember Amazing Grace, the song? When we've been there 10,000 years, right, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Right? Saying that even after 10,000 years, it's still, that's nothing in eternity. And that's what this verse is saying, that a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like 1 day, because there's really no time there. It's just, his time scale is not our time scale. That's what the verse is saying, correct? And it's not talking about creation. It's talking about the Lord returning. And why has he waited? He's not tarrying. He's waiting until the time comes when he can come. And why is he waiting? We look in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What's his promise? That he will come back. He's going to come back. He's not slack. He's not, you know, not fulfilling his promise. He's not taking a long time and tarrying. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward. Means he's what? Patient. He is patient towards us, not willing that any should perish. So why hasn't he came back right now? He loves people. He loves the world. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody that can be saved to be saved. He knows when the time is that he needs to come. But until that time, he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every single person to be saved, to come to repentance. So that's the only reason. People scoff and say, where's the promise of his coming? Well, he's waiting. He's held off for this long. He wants you to repent. He wants you to come to him, right? So the scoffers are scoffing when actually he's waiting, or he's holding off, he's long-suffering towards them. Okay? He doesn't want to see us cast into the lake of fire. He's not going to take great joy in that. He's long-suffering, waiting for more to come to him for salvation. Let's go to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So we're talking about this earth, this first heaven and the first earth. They're going to pass away, and they'll be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. And we saw in verse 7 that right now God is holding this earth and the heaven in store, waiting until it's going to be burned up by fire on the day of judgment. Now we come to verse 10, we see it more explicitly. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Christ is not going to return announced. He's going to come unannounced. The thief doesn't say, hey, I'm coming to rob your house at 3 a.m. Meet me at the door. Open up. Okay, he comes when you least expect it, or tries to. Yeah, but Christ will come like a thief in the night. And this day of the Lord, okay, will be set off by his rapture, and it will end at the great white throne judgment. Okay, when the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In Revelation 20, verse 11, it just says, heaven and earth fled away. But now we see how they're fleeing away, how they passed away. They burn up with fervent heat and great noise and melted. Right? So we think on the earth all the time, all the money, all the energy, all the lifetimes, all the bloodshed, all the wars to build this stuff on earth, to build empires on earth, to get wealth on earth, to build monuments and these great wonders of the world and all these things. It's going to be burnt up. It's going to melt away. We see that here. And verse 11 says what we should do with this knowledge. Okay, we come to verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. You see that everything's going to burn up. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? This is exactly where I would take this sermon. It's exactly what Peter did and God did, right? He says, seeing then that this world's going to pass away, what kind of life should you live? Ye ought to be in what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He's saying, look at the life you should live knowing that this is going to happen. Why does God give us the information on that the earth's going to pass away? So, I mean, we should have no conflict in our hearts saying, man, should I really build here on earth? Should I really put a lot of energy into the things and stuff and money? No, because it's going to be burnt up. All the works are going to be burnt up. Let's read on through verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we get a picture of the new heaven and new earth, that there's going to dwell righteousness there. It's not going to be sin like it is here. We're not going to have the sin nature like we do here in the new heavens and the new earth. But we, according to His promise, look for that new heavens and the new earth. So we should live our lives looking towards that, putting up treasures in heaven, doing things that are going to last, not things that are going to be melted away with fervent heat and burn up, and all the works on the earth that are burnt up with it. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. So how should we live? We should be diligent, and we should work at it. We should think about it. We're not just going to float through life. We're going to be on purpose doing this to be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Okay, so we've seen in detail the fate of the earth. We've talked about in Revelation that the old heaven, the first earth and the first heaven were passed away. This is how it happens. In fervent heat, it's melting, it's burnt up. That's the detail that we went to. And so all the things we spend our time on, our cars, our home, our crops, our kitchens, our money, all of our stuff, all of it's going to be burnt up forever with fervent heat. So again, just like it said in 2 Peter, let's make sure that we're living not for worthless stuff, but for priceless things. Priceless treasures in heaven, the things of God. Live in peace with others. Live without spot. Be blameless. Get rid of that sin. Repent of that. Confess it. He's faithful and just. Okay, we can live all out for God because we can trust the Bible. We know exactly what's going to happen. God's given us all the information so we can live a life of godliness. We can live in Him. So we don't want to be ashamed when He comes. If He would come right now, would you be ashamed of the way you live in your life? We want to be confident at His coming. Okay? Confess all sin to Him. Because He's coming. He's not going to tarry. And when He comes, it sets off that day of the Lord. And eventually there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, which we'll get to next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it's so specific, it's so exact, and it tells us exactly what's going to happen. Lord, help all of us to live that way and to not get caught up with the cares of this world to where we become worthless for You, and to be able to truly see what our possessions, what our things, what all this stuff we have on earth will happen, what's going to happen to it. It's going to be burnt up. And so we can spend our time on things that You want us to spend our time on. Lord, help each one of us to search our lives, search our hearts, and see where we can grow closer to You, where we can get rid of some things, where we can change our lives. Lord, I thank You for the study of the book of Revelation, that we can see these things, and may it help us to be stronger witnesses, being confident that we know what the Bible says, and we can interpret this, and we can read it for what it says here. And Lord, may this just help us to be a stronger witness. Lord, be with us as we go. I thank You for all that can make it tonight. Be with those that could not. Be with those that are sick. Keep us safe on the way home, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.